It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And among those events, I have noted that this is the time of year when the woodpeckers will begin to drum. And over in Duluth, the students were mentioning that and preparing themselves to be listening for it. One of the students had already heard drumming. And this is a behavior that is different from the search for food. When a woodpecker is searching for food, the hammering on a tree is kind of intermittent and usually a blow and then a pause and then a blow or two and then a pause while the bird sort of assesses what it's done and as it works its way in to get a hold of the grub that it might be chasing. So and the drumming is just a rapid staccato beat that goes on for a length of time. And its main purpose, and the woodpecker is going to search out a nice resounding log that has a good tone to it. And when he finds that log, he's going to drum. And his idea is to advertise his presence to other woodpeckers of his species. At my house, I have pileateds and hairies and downies, and they all exist in the same territory because they all exploit different niches within that territory. So I get a broad band of woodpeckers, a broad group of woodpeckers, but I only get one of each. And the downies will keep other downies away, the hairies keep other hairies away, and the pileateds, of course, keep the other pileateds away. So listen for the drumming on the woodpeckers. Also listen for the chickadees to start singing their Phoebe song. And the Phoebe song is simply that, Phoebe or Phoebe. And it marks the beginning of the dissolution of the flock. The chickadees are starting to sense a bit longer daylight coming, and they're going to begin this reaction, this singing, as a result of increased hormones within their blood. And they'll carry this on until April, when it'll become quite prevalent. And then they'll really get into sorting out who's going to be with whom. And that will begin the courtship and the nesting season. So listen for that as well. The other observation that I made this past week was that I saw a group of ravens in what I called playing sky games. They were flying around and buzzing one another and doing all sorts of tricks, and it was pretty exciting. It whenever I see that, it makes me wish that I were a raven for a brief moment, because it would be fun to join that group and do some of those aerobatic maneuvers that the ravens are doing in the skies right now. So watch for that as well. I took a fairly long hike yesterday on snowshoes and fortunately did not fall through the ice. I'm always glad for that. But among the things that I noticed along the way, lots of the swampy kind of woody plants, the speckled alders and the bog birch, especially those two, whenever I would bump into one, boatload of seeds would fall out onto the top of the snow. So both the bog birch and the speckled alder are dispensing seeds right now. And if you go out and tap one of them, you'll see a bunch of seeds fall out onto the snow. The other thing to notice especially on the tag alders, speckled alders, is that the catkins, the male flowers, even though they're not getting any larger, they're from about 3/4 of an inch to, maybe just a shade over an inch long. But they are spectacularly, I want to say purple, but it's really not purple. It's more like burgundy or sort of a reddish, brownish color. I don't know. If you go out and look at a tag alder, a speckled alder, and they grow along the edges of the swamps, and they have those little, they look like little pine cones on them. Those are the female flowers, the female cones. And if you find those pine cones are going to be roughly the size of your little fingernail. And if you find those cones, then you're looking at speckled alder. They're the only plant out there with those little cones on them. And if you look at the plant, you'll find those male catkins hanging there, and you can tell me what color you think they are, because I'm not quite the color guy that some of you might be. And so I'd be happy to hear from you about what color they might be. So besides the plants, and I looked at the willows as well, and the willows were just tight. There wasn't a bud among them. They're not at all ready to begin to bud out. That will happen early March, typically. We'll begin to see more pussy willows starting to come out. But in the meantime, they're just hanging in there and waiting for longer days and warmer weather. It's like a lot of us. The other thing I noticed out there were the tracks, and there were tracks of every kind of mouse I can imagine. There were tracks where the mice laid down a nice little track with no tail line at all. Then there were tracks where the mouse laid down a track with the tail hitting the ground every couple of bounds. And then there were the tracks where the tail dragged the whole time they were walking. And those are different species, and Harry Hutchins is a much better small mammal guy than I am, so we'll let him decipher the passages that I was interpreting out there. But there were lots and lots of tracks, including weasel tracks, and one track that came up out of a grassy hummock and went about 12 feet across the top of the snow and disappeared into another grassy hummock, and it was large enough that it made me think of something bigger than a mouse. And it was on the surface of the snow, not under the surface where the voles would go. And I suppose it could have been a star-nosed mole, because they're active in watery, wet areas this time of year. Or it could have been a leased weasel. And I am not sure. I didn't, the snow wasn't the right type of snow to leave a good clear footprint in it, and so it was kind of muddied and muddled, and it was difficult to tell, but the size was intriguing. And then a bit further on, in some other lowlands, I came across what I can only assume was a weasel. It was wider than the other tracks, and it had these bounds, the two-footed bounds, and the animal scraped the snow pretty much the whole way that it went. Not wide enough to make me think of a mink, although it could have been, I suppose, a malnourished mink, but I think probably that might have been the short-tailed weasel. It was fun being out there. And, of course, everywhere there are rabbit tracks and rabbit trails. This time of year, they've been running on the same trails. You know, they know, they get familiar with these trails, and they know what's coming, and they know where they can find safety along those trails. And so they use the same trails over and over and over again. And it's pretty exciting when you go out and kind of look at those things and see what's going on. Lots of deer beds out there. I was walking across a recently harvested forest, and it's now a pine plantation. They cut the old pine off and they planted new pine back in. But this new pine is only about 2 feet tall, so you could see across it pretty easily. And I could see far off across this cutting, I could see some hints of red in the woods. And I had a hunch that it was probably mountain maple, but I walked over there, and as I got closer, sure enough, it was. And the new growth, the year or two old growth on mountain maple, is red, and it is noticeable. And the other thing about it was that it was about 10 or 15 feet off the ground, so that helped me to know, even from a distance, that I was probably looking at mountain maple. Well, I wandered onto a beaver pond, and I got to looking at the weeds that grew along the edge of the beaver pond, and there were just it was really quite interesting. There were several of these field mint plants, which are they're really dark brown. They're almost coffee brown, and they are about maybe 12 to 18 inches long. And about every inch, they've got a little tuft of, I don't know, a spiky, well, they're the seed pods. But if you know what the mint looks like in the summer when it's in flower, you can imagine, because the flowers grow right at the leaf axils. So a leaf comes off and right there in the axle, the flower forms. And this time of year, it's a kind of a bristly little brown knob there. And they're opposite, and that's typical of mints, and they alternate so that they're, let's just say that the first one is east and west. Well, then the next one is north and south, and then the next one is east and west, and the next one is north and south as you go up the stem. But what really makes them interesting and what gives it away to even an inexperienced person out there is if you feel the stem, you'll feel that it is rigid and square. And so the field mints are kind of interesting to look at. There were these, a little patch of wood nettles right along the Beaver Dam. They stood like sentinels, 6 foot tall sentinels. The seeds on those, the old seed pods or the old seed structure, flower structure, look kind of like tattered knotted string. There were these long filaments with little bulbous parts on them, and pretty interesting to look at the wood nettle, the blue flag, the iris, the stout, dark, three-lobed seed pods just above the top of the snow. Pretty interesting to look at those. Swamp milkweed, those grayish, papery seed pods that are on top of these desiccated, dried, and brittle seeds or plant stems. I noticed that the cattails are starting to give off seeds. And the first clue I had to that was that as I was walking along the edge of the willows before I got far enough out to be among the cattails, I could see these little filaments stuck in the willows. And I thought, what the heck? And I got to looking at them closely and I realized that they were the cattail seeds that are starting to dissipate. So the cattails are finally getting around to loosening up a little bit and giving off their seeds. And that's kind of a deep winter sort of an affair that sort of happens this time of year and into later January, early February, when the cattail really start to give off their seeds. Couple of notes from our Season Watch page, KAXEKBXE Season Watch page on Facebook. Someone had a picture of a snow crane fly, which is a flightless fly, and it is active on the snow. Its bodily fluids are composed of enough glycerol or glycerin, I don't know which, but it is an antifreeze, and their body fluids have enough of this in them for them to be active this time of year. And with the warm weather we're having right now, if you're outside today, you should be watching for active insects on the snow. And among them, you will find the snow crane fly, the snow fleas, snow scorpion fly, spiders, tussock moth caterpillars, and woolly bear caterpillars. All of those might be out somewhere today or tomorrow in the warm weather that we're forecast to have. So keep your eyes open. If you see some of those things and you have a camera, get a little picture and put it on our Facebook page. We'd love to see it ourselves. And it's always nice to know that everybody is out there watching. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week.
Don't forget to sign up for that Season Watch page. I think it's the best use of Facebook ever.
Oh, you know, it is. I'm not much for my personal life. I think It's way boring and no one would be interested. But I get out there and I see things and I snap a picture and I throw it up there and I post it and people react to it. And it's without trolls and without all of the disgusting parts of Facebook that kind of irritate and alienate. Mm-hmm. And so it really is nice. I mean, nobody has a bad thing to say about something like a snow scorpion.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I could think of a couple things, but yes.
I wouldn't want that in my bed with me, but then you know what? Probably not coming in my bed.
Yeah, so we hope you join the community of folks who are paying attention to the world out there, the natural world. Join the Season Watch page. You can also follow us on Twitter, hashtag Phenology, or sign up for podcast, the Phenology podcast as well through iTunes. Great way to get involved and to learn a little something.
And as the kids like to say, remember, be observant.